Greetings and welcome to the very first episode of Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Larkin Rose. Now, I wanted to tailor the first few installments of this show to those who know nothing about me and nothing about what it is that I do. Maybe someone you know encouraged you to listen in and you're not sure what to expect. You may be wondering, who is this guy? Why should I believe him? Why should I trust him? As it happens, for this show, it doesn't matter if you know anything about me, and it doesn't matter whether you trust me or believe me, because this show is very different from almost anything else you'll hear. There are plenty of political talk shows out there which make conflicting claims and argue about the facts, and you can never tell who's mistaken or even who's lying. Mostly, the discussion consists of some guy saying, "Your party is stupid and evil, and my party is wise and good." And someone on the other side saying the opposite. "No, my noble, brave candidate will save the world, and your nasty, corrupt candidate will cause pain and suffering." And so that pointless bickering goes on and on ad infinitum and doesn't change anybody's mind. That is not what this show is about. That is not a discussion you'll hear on this show. Let me start by saying this. I'm going to assume that anyone listening to this show, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, moderate, progressive, conservative, constitutionalist, I really don't care. I'm going to assume that anyone listening to this show wants truth and justice to prevail, wants the innocent protected and the guilty stopped. Now, there can be a lot of conflicting ideas of who the good guy is and who the bad guy is, and what justice looks like, and so on. But I'm going to start with the assumption that you, the listener, want what is best for humanity. Because if you don't, if you're someone who delights in the pain and suffering of others, then I don't really care what you think, and you're not going to care what I think either. What I have to say is for people who want to be good, who want to do the right thing. Again, there are a lot of different opinions about what the right thing is, but that's where this show will likely be different from anything you've heard before. Because on this show, unlike just about anywhere else, the main focus is not going to be me throwing my own moral beliefs at you, trying to bludgeon you into agreeing with me. That never works anyway. Instead, aside from my beliefs, independent of my own beliefs and values, I want to take you through some ideas to test whether your beliefs and values are consistent with themselves. Now, that may sound a little strange, because just about everyone of every religious, political, or philosophical position will say, "Well, I already know what I think, and I already know that I'm right, and I know that I'm consistent and principled in what I think." I mean, can you imagine anyone saying otherwise? Can you imagine someone saying, "No, what I think is stupid and self-contradictory and makes no sense"? No, each person, including you, thinks he already has a pretty good grip on things. And actually, that's one of the main problems. Everyone thinks he already understands reality. He already knows right from wrong. Even the terrorist who goes around blowing up innocent people, he really and truly believes that he's in the right, or he wouldn't do it. Same with the fascist thugs of some tyrannical regime, or some psychotic mass murderer who kills and eats his neighbors. Whatever people do seems reasonable and proper to them at the time, or they wouldn't do it. Based on the way they see the world, based on their beliefs and their perceptions, they act the way they do. And to them, it makes sense. No one thinks that he is the bad guy. Now, I'm not pushing moral relativism here. I'm not saying that everyone is equally right and equally moral. They're not. I'm saying that the main problem is usually one of perceptions, not intentions. Lots of horribly nasty things have been done in the name of good intentions by people who, at least to begin with, actually meant well. And the problem has almost always been a lack of understanding of reality, not understanding what's actually going on. So, here's my challenge to you. I'm not questioning your motives. I'm not alleging that you're a bad, evil person. Again, if you are, you're not going to care what I think. I'm not going to care what you think. Instead, assuming you're a basically good person, trying to do the right thing, I want to challenge you to re-examine some of your beliefs and assumptions. In short, I want you to take an honest look at your own perceptions and actions, especially as they relate to politics and government, and see if you might be doing things, however inadvertently, that are destructive to humanity and society. Because, to be blunt, you are. Now, I don't think you're trying to, but I believe that you are most likely contributing to suffering and injustice in the world. Now, why the heck would I say such a thing about you when I know nothing about you? I don't know who's listening. I say that because almost everyone is. Almost everyone, by way of their belief system, again, as it relates to politics and government, is contributing to the pain and suffering of mankind. Now, again, I don't care what you think of my opinions and beliefs, so if you're feeling defensive because I said that, don't bother. Who cares what I think? But here is what is important. Are you capable of objectively and honestly examining your own belief systems to see if you might accidentally be advocating something destructive? Unfortunately, very few people are capable of that kind of self-examination. Most people would literally rather kill or die than reconsider the assumptions they've always made, the beliefs they've always held, the ideas that they were brought up in. So, does truth and justice matter enough to you that you dare to examine your own beliefs and behaviors? After all, if you're already right about things, if you're already advocating what you should be advocating, what would it hurt to double check? You'll just be more sure of it. By analogy, if you're doing a math problem and you think you already have the right answer, what's the harm in double checking your work? You might find that you made a mistake, or you might find that you didn't and you were right the first time. But if you don't dare to reconsider, if you don't dare to take another look at your beliefs, maybe it's because you suspect that you're wrong. Deep down inside, you think you might be wrong, and maybe you don't really want to know that if you are. And that is the ultimate act of cowardice, to close your eyes to the truth because it might be uncomfortable. So the question comes down to this. Are you willing to re-examine some of your most fundamental beliefs if it might reduce the pain and suffering of others? Or do you just want to shut your eyes, shut your ears, and cling to whatever you already believe, regardless of whether you're hurting others? If you have the spine, if you're brave enough, stay right where you are, and after this break, we'll get right into it. Oh, and if you're a liberal and you're thinking, he won't ever make me into a conservative, or you're a conservative and you're thinking, he'll never make me into a liberal, either way, you're right. I won't make anyone into either one of those, nor would I ever want to. Because the truth, as uncomfortable as it might be, leads in a very different direction. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the very first installment of Outside the Cage. I am your host, Larkin Rose. If you missed the first segment, I basically dared the listener, whatever his religious, political, or philosophical position might be, to let me take him through a process of re-examination so that you, the listener, could see whether there might be inconsistencies and contradictions in your own beliefs, perceptions, and actions. Again, I'm assuming that you're a good person trying to do the right thing, and I'm not asking you to throw away your values and take mine instead. I just want you to take a look at your own values and see if you see anything amiss in there. See if you might, by accident, be doing something destructive. Let me start with a simple, slightly silly example of what I mean. Suppose that you were raised to respect other people, do unto others, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, live and let live, all that good stuff. But for some reason, you grew up in a culture where, despite all those good teachings, there was this other thing going on that whenever someone was spotted wearing a purple hat, everyone else would viciously, physically assault the guy, beating him almost to death. Now, growing up, you saw this happening over and over again, and never got an explanation of why, but you grew to expect it, and grew to assume that it must be necessary and proper. There must be some reason for it. So, when you were old enough, whenever you saw someone wearing a purple hat, you'd go enthusiastically join in beating the heck out of the guy. Now, it would be pretty easy to demonstrate that there's a big contradiction between believing in love your neighbor and live and let live and all that, and thinking it's okay to brutally assault someone for wearing a purple hat. There's an obvious mental conflict and contradiction there. And if someone helped you to see it, you might figure out that, yeah, despite tradition and what everyone around you was doing, it's really not okay to beat someone up for wearing a purple hat. And that doing so is not in keeping with what you otherwise believe. Yes, I know it's a silly example, but keep that in mind. Because that's basically all I want to try to do on this show. I want to show you that, in all likelihood, you are doing things akin to beating up people with purple hats. You're doing things just as absurd and, in fact, far more destructive simply because your upbringing and your culture and your belief system have led you to believe that it's okay, that it's good to do such things. And if you've never heard anyone question it, which few people ever have, you'd never have much reason to doubt it. So, let's start with a very common, simple, real-world example. Suppose you live in a little town and you have a couple kids and you want to send them to school. And private school there is too expensive for you at the moment. So you send them to the local public school instead. Now, you know that that school is funded by local property taxes. And you pay your property taxes, but your few thousand dollars a year isn't enough by itself to cover the costs of educating your two kids. But then, you're not the only one paying property taxes. Everyone who owns property in the town does. Now, suppose you have neighbors who never had kids, so they don't actually need the services of any school. But they get a bill for property taxes just like you do. In short, they're being made to pay for something that directly benefits you, but not them. Now, just so we're clear, we all know what happens if they don't pay. If those neighbors who never had kids of their own, if they don't pay their property taxes that fund the school, the local township or borough or whatever it is will start sending them nasty letters, demanding money and adding on penalties and interest and that sort of thing. And eventually will tell your neighbors, look, you're going to pay up or we're going to take your house from you and sell it to pay your back taxes. So let's be clear about the situation. This is not about someone going around the neighborhood collecting donations and contributions or asking people to voluntarily chip in for the local school. This is the local government demanding money from all property owners and backing that demand with the threat of forcibly kicking anyone who doesn't pay off his own property. Of course, most people pay and it never gets to that point. But the reality is, your neighbor's only choices are pay up or have his property taken from him, eventually. The politicians might speak of it as contributions, but everyone involved knows that it's not voluntary. They're not just asking nicely. They're saying, you will give us this much money every year, or we will eventually send men with guns to take your property from you by force.